You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
Hello and welcome to The Torrin and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich and I'm Gragthar, Torrin Hunter on Skywall US.
And I'm Katie, Clanker Goblin Resto Shaman on Dalaran US.
And today, well, we're recording this on July 31st, but this is going up on August 27th, I believe, or the 28th. I should know what our birthday is. But this is this is to celebrate our third anniversary of the show. Looking back over our archives, I realized that there's a lot of people who have found the show, and they're like, oh, hey, I went back and I listened to all your episodes. And I'm like, well, you really haven't, because... Before we did the Torrin and the Goblin, we were both on WoW Talk, our other Warcraft show here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. You were only on that for a while, maybe not quite a year, but you were on there for a few months at least.
Yeah, I think it was like a 3 or 4 months or something, because it was one of those recurring, like, the first time I was asked, I think, was this episode. Maybe it was one before.
But... No, you'd been on before this.
Okay. Okay.
This is actually towards the end of your tenure.
Ah, okay. Okay. Because I remember you guys had asked me on for a BlizzCon episode. And then we kind of started to talk about lore on the show, which got really exciting because I was like, finally, someone wants to talk about Warcraft lore. So I remember being very fond of that.
Yes. No, it worked out very well. The only problem is I think we were the only two interested in talking about Warcraft lore. The show as it was constructed didn't really lend itself to that. And so I think the inevitable outcome is that the lore would split off to its own show, as it did, and became the Torrin and the Goblin. But before it became the Torrin and the Goblin, we did an episode which I don't think we realized at the time was basically a backdoor pilot. But no, but this was back in 2016. It was when they released the preview of Chronicle. This was Amazon posted a bunch of screenshots from Chronicle. And in particular, it posted that image, which is all seared into our brain now, of the schools of magic and how they all interplay. And anybody who has any, even like the slightest bit of fascination with the lore, is going to look at that. And that's just catnip to them. That they're just going to be like, oh my God, like just, like, I want to absorb this image into my mind indelibly. And that's what we did basically, is we did the episode. At the time we were playing Hunters, so we did talk a little bit about some Hunter stuff that was coming, and then we went into going into the lore, and the episode worked so well, just the two of us together, that I don't know if I had intended to be, I don't think I had planned for this to be like, hey, we should do an episode just to see how it goes and if we should do a podcast off that. But I think when it was done, I was like, I think when we finished the episode, I was like, there's something here. We can build on that. And I think that's when we started talking about, like, oh yeah, we should do the Torrin and the Goblin. And then I was like, well, yeah, but I also have a kid coming. So let's wait till after the kid comes and then we'll do that. So here we are again. I have another kid who, by the time this goes up, should be here. So yeah, so we'll be back again, like live in a few months. So I hope everybody enjoys the taped episodes we have coming up over the next few months or so. But putting all that aside, do you have anything you want to say before we just kick it off to ourselves 3 years in the past?
Oh man. Well, this is one of those, I'm like, okay, this is Katie 3 years ago and I didn't know how to podcast. Not that I'm that much better now, but I'm a little afraid to like dust this one off. I'm like, oh boy. We'll see. But it's Katie talk. It's young Katie talking about the lore. So what could go wrong, right? Younger.
So, yeah. Yeah. So appreciate us in our not quite final form, as it were. And just bear in mind, if you're only interested in current lore, this is all old stuff. A lot of what we say has probably been since changed, or, you know, we've come to learn more things. We've seen the full, not just Chronicle 1, we've seen all of Chronicle 2 and Chronicle 3 in the time since then. So, you know, we may speculate on some things or make some assertions that have since been rendered false.
But, you know, perhaps.
Pretty much. But, you know, enjoy the episode for what it is. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks or so. Happy 3 year anniversary.
Yay. We're 3 years old. Our Twitter didn't get taken away again.
We're not talking about that.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of WoW Talk, the Mashbows Buttons podcast all about World of Warcraft. My name is Nick Zelenkevich, and I'm here with Katie Grace.
Yo!
And as I said, this is a special edition. I know I kind of made my temporary farewell on last week's episode, or I guess maybe even earlier this week's episode, depending on when this goes up. But I wanted to get one more thing out before that kid came. So I brought Katie in here, and we're going to talk about a lot of the hunter-specific changes that are coming in Legion.
Woo!
And a lot of the some of the consternation and concerns that have been going on with that, kind of get a little deep into the hunter stuff. And then also, maybe depending on how much time there is at the end, we might geek out a little bit over the Chronicle preview. Because if ever there was anything worth geeking out over, it is that Chronicle preview.
Ah, so excited.
I feel like we could go back in time to 2010 when Metzen did the Geek Is at BlizzCon and just put the Chronicle preview there and it would have been accurate.
Pretty much. Oh my goodness, so accurate.
So, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But first, I guess. So I know you've been super excited about a lot of the Hunter news coming for Legion. I know there's a lot of stuff that came in the last few days with the most recent alpha build. So, what's got you most pumped, Katie?
Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, as someone who's always into the model viewers and that sort of thing, there's a lot of new models that came up. There's even maybe some new hunter pets, but there's a lot of mount models that came up that I'm excited about that use a lot of skeletons we're familiar with. So there's a lot of stuff to be excited about come Legion, and I don't even know where to start, really. There's just so much. But first, I should probably say happy love is in the air to everyone listening, since it is that time of year. As being that one goblin person, I have to throw it out there because it's primarily a goblin and Forsaken Holiday. So there you go, everyone. Now that that's out of the way, though, what about you, Nick? What are you excited for? Legion.
Well, one of the things I saw today is somebody posted a picture of a hunter with a quiver on its back that it looks like quivers are coming. I have a feeling that they're associated with the marksman artifact since that's the bow. I don't know. I remember I still have – all throughout Warlords, I've had the Harpy Hide Quiver. Mm-hmm. On my Tauren Hunter. I've had that equipped. I've been giving up about 10 bag slots because I've been using this, at least 10 bag slots. And I've been waiting, and I know it wasn't going to come in Warlords, but I was just very optimistically waiting for that to suddenly just appear on my character's back. I remember when it used to appear on my character's back.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it's not just something associated with the Marksman artifact, because I don't plan on using the Marksman artifact, even though it is a very beautiful artifact, and I would gladly use that bow if it were available to Beastmasters. I probably will use a bow for Transmog, though. I still like using the Admiral Taylor's hunting bow.
Yeah.
Which I use as a horde.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
But I've been using that throughout Warlords, and I might continue to transmog that. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the was it Titan Strike, the Beastmaster gun?
Mm-hmm.
There are some awesome models for that. I think one of them was even a cross. Oh no, there was a cross. The crossbow was the Windrunner bow.
Yes. Right?
Yes. So
I think so.
I think it'd be nice of Blizzard to make one of the artifact variants of Titan Strike a bow and a crossbow, and one of the Windrunner bow, oh yes, I should say two of the Windrunner bow artifact variants, a crossbow and a gun, and mm-hmm. And I guess none for survival, because
yeah, that would be kind of hard to explain. You run up and smack someone with a gun.
Well, actually, they should do for survival. One of the artifact variants should be just a bow with no string, and you just use that as your polearm. You're just hitting people with the bow the whole time.
Oh my goodness, that'd be great. Or I mean, I guess you could transmog that. There's some great polearm type things. I think one of them is, it's either a mace or a polearm, but it's a shovel, and you could probably.
Yes.
I just went through the Hillsbred Foothills recently, so I got my shovel, and I was just thinking about, it's like, oh, what if a survival hunter had a shovel, was running around hitting people? But yeah, no, that'd be interesting if they had an unstrung bow and you go smack people with it.
I just found through my salvage yard, I found an offhand that is a like roasted camel haunch.
Oh, yes.
And it's blue, so I think it's legitimate for, like, you can legitimately use it for transmog purposes, like run around with like a, like basically like a giant turkey leg with a bite taken out of it. Yep. And you're off.
There's a green version of that you can get questing. I think it's on the Horde side, because I just picked that up on my Pandaren, and I was sitting there as that big panda. I was like, this is perfect. This would totally be something he'd run around with. So.
Well, I like, actually, you know what? That would work well as an offhand if you can get the, there's a mug that's a mace.
Yes, I have that too. Oh my goodness. Now I know what I'm going to do. Dual wielding. Just like, I'm so hungry.
Just run around. Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. The Tankard of Terror, I think, is one of them. And then if you get that during Brewfest, because that's transmoggable if you get it from one of the drops. I think it's a drop anyway. But I have
that. Oh, but isn't the Brewfest one's not transmoggable?
I think it might be. It's since it's a special one. I don't know if it will be considered transmoggable. I have never tried, so maybe. I think it's that one's an offhand, and the Tankard of Terror is technically a mace.
Yes.
So yes, I'm excited for both of those.
Yes. But back on Hunter topic.
Right, hunters. Oh, we have so much to talk about.
So which of the let's do the pets. Which of the newly data mined pets are you most excited for?
Oh my goodness. That's hard because it looks like there's a lot of new models for everything, but I think I saw a new model that might not be a mount model, but it's in it was just data mined from Alpha, so we're not sure what exactly it is, but it looks like it's a reskin of a wolf model. And that would be really neat. I'm also pretty jazzed about the moose, because I think you might be able to have a moose, like, you know, it might be in the deer tree. But I don't know if anyone's tried that yet. I haven't had a chance to look. Other than that,
Petopia wouldn't have that stuff up, would it?
I don't think so. I don't think yet, but they might. I haven't had a chance to look there. I was actually going to go and peek. But I was trying to see if I could find that wolf model. I know that, you know, obviously everyone's really excited about the fox mount that's coming. So that makes me wonder if we're going to have new fox models as well, since they've updated the fox. But there's so many new models, my head's spinning, to be honest. So
I was surprised I saw they updated the Kodo model, but they're not doing what they did before, where it's like, oh, we're going to leave the old models in the game and we'll just put the updates in like next to them as just different mounts. Like, they're actually updating the existing Kodo models.
Yeah.
So if you have an existing Kodo mount, well, I guess you wouldn't have a pet because there's no Kodo pets.
No, pet.
But not yet. There aren't, but there will be. But yeah, so if you have an existing Kodo mount, it's going to get the new model on it, and it's fundamentally the same model. Like, it's not as radically changed as like the Wyvern was,
or it's not bad.
Or the Hippogriff.
I think they're beautiful.
Yes. Well, no. I've only seen like pictures where it was like bugged. Like, it looked like there was a giant orc sitting on a tiny Kodo.
Oh no!
So it'll be interesting to see how those models look. I mean, fundamentally, if it retains the same, I guess, aspects of the original model, it should be fine. And I always thought it made sense that it's like, if you know, make it so that people can get a new mount. If you like the old mount for whatever reason, you still have that in your inventory. If you want the new mount, you can get the new mount. But I guess maybe I wonder if, just like we can toggle off the old character models, I wonder if when you switch over, do you then go to the old Kodos also?
I would imagine so. If they're going to do updates to all of the models, like, I think the Kodos and, at least on the Horde side, the Kodos and the Orcish Wolves are the two that I would argue that need it. Like, the Kodos still look decent. Like, they're not terrible. But, like, you know, if you looked at the Tauren pre-Legion, or not pre-Legion, pre-Warlords, those guys are pretty hard to look at. So it'll be nice to see their Kodo updated. The Kodo, I mean, these models look great. And honestly, it's not that big of a change. Like, they didn't fundamentally change anything. And then for people that aren't as savvy with animation, the skeleton that I always talk about is the how the mount moves and stuff. They're not changing that. So it's going to move and feel the same. It's just going to look slightly newer. So I don't think it's going to feel too different. They're just going to have a little bit of a makeover.
Well, we've had the Mushan in Mists that were basically like an updated version of the Kodo. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say updated, but like a variant of the Kodo.
Yeah.
And It's one of those things where I dabbled in PvP lately in the hopes of maybe getting that Mushan mount. I was nowhere near getting that Mushan mount. That's never happening. But and it's funny though, because I still do see every so often I'll see somebody using that. Was it the Ember of the Cinders or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember what it is.
The thing that turns them into the little pink yak. And yeah, you know, like I'll see that guy running around, I'm like, oh, you know, good for him trying to get those coins. But it's nice in that, like, you know, you can look at the old Kodo and then you would see like the Mushan and you'd be like, yeah, like they've progressed. And now at least the old Kodo sitting next to the Mushan, it won't feel like such a, you know, it won't feel so disparate. That they'll fit better.
Well, yeah, that, and then they, both the Tauren Paladin racials, their racial mount, the Kodo mount, that one looked pretty good. That was more of a reskin where they had, like, the special Sunwalker Kodos. Those look gorgeous. And then they redid that PvP Kodo not that long ago, and I haven't gotten any of the new PvP mounts, which is a horrible shame. But those, I think it's going to be nice to see the redone Kodos, because when you walk one of the old Kodos past, like, Sunwalker Kodo, it doesn't look as good anymore. You're just like, oh!
But as we mentioned, what's cool is that the Kodos will be part of this, I think it's the Scalehide family?
Yes, I think so.
So you can tame the Kodos, you can tame the, what's it, the Thunder Lizards?
Yes, finally! Oh my goodness.
From Durotar.
Those guys could also use a makeover if they ever decide to do that. But
I'm sure that, well, you know, But the thing is, at the very least, like, I mean, I remember seeing those old models and being, you know, back in like 2005, mm-hmm. being disappointed, like, why can't I have one of these guys running alongside next to me?
Right?
And so, I mean, it's one of those things, like, every dinosaur in the game. And now I think all that's left is the pterodaxes, right?
Yep.
I think they're the last thing we can't tame, unless they introduce new dinosaurs that we can't tame. But
I was going to say, I honestly don't know why they don't just stick them in, like, the Bat family and then just relabel the Bat family something else, because it's the same basic model. So, really, they should be tameable. And even if they give them the same ability as a Bat, why not? Well,
there's enough models. Make them their own thing, even. I mean, fundamentally, I would almost think that, like, dinosaurs itself should be, like, its own, like, subfamily. Because there's just so many of them that... Because right now, like, you've got the... They're not quite Dimetrodons. I forget what exactly they're called. It's like some slight variant on Dimetrodons.
Yeah.
But they're part of what the Basilisk family.
Yep. Yep. And that's why, like, interesting to squish all the dinosaurs under the dinosaur category. Because now we can tame, I think, as you said, just about every single one of them. So, except for the Pterodons.
Except for the Pterodons, yeah. So.
Because I wanted.
Those will come.
Well, yeah, I hope so. Because, I mean, The Isle of Giants pterodons, those things are beautiful. And the thing that bothered me the most is I highly suspect that at one point they were going to be able to be hunter pets, because if you notice when you did your dire beast thing, they would be summoned and they would come along as a pet that would attack and, you know, do that kind of stuff. And so I think at some point they were cut, because if you notice, any pet that you summon through the dire beast is usually something you can tame, as far as I know. And then I think maybe the snakes come out too, but
you know, but that's something though that that's something that would have been interesting to see, because I mean, you found like the one thing that we couldn't tame that would come, but pretty much like everything else we could tame. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the amount of creatures that we actually couldn't tame. They've really gone out of their way to give us like pretty much every creature in the game. And it's one of those things where every expansion, they're like, what else do you guys want? And it's like, well, what else is there? Because like, that's really like, I think what we're finally getting in Legion, the new snake models.
Yes.
They were the snakes from the Timeless Isle, that we're finally going to be able to tame those.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we can everything.
What else? I feel like everything else we've got, right? Like, is there anything else? Like, what can't we tame, if not now in Legion? Like,
other than the
Pteranodons.
I know there's a couple things, and I can't think of for the life of me what they are, because I've been out leveling and I've been going crazy, going ham on my leveling. But every once in a while, I'd run past something that was a beast, and I couldn't tame it. And I'd look at it and be like, you're going down one of these expansions because I'm going to tame you and you're going to like it. But I think the big Stegosaurus Thunder Lizard guys and the Pterodons were two of them that we really haven't seen until now. And those are the only old world ones I can think of, aside from, obviously, you know, people are like, oh, dragons. And you're like, you're not going to tame a dragon. That's not going to happen. But
maybe a proto drake, because it's only a proto intelligent thing.
No, read the book. I mean, they're still only semi intelligent and they're derpy, but that's not going to happen. We can ride on them. That's about it.
Well, the thing is, though, like, they're running out of creatures to add for us to tame so much that they had to add mechs that we can tame.
Well, that's pretty cool, though, because that'll open up a whole new kind of set of things. Like, you know, I think, like, engineers have a special ability with mechs, and I know goblins and gnomes can tame them off the bat because of their familiarity with mechs. Goblins for the win. Anyway, so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if, like, maybe they'll release a special skin of every single type of beast as a mech, like, you know, a mech core hound or something. You know, it opens a bigger playing field for, like, a special exotic mech family if they want to do that.
I could see them doing that, but it'll take them a few expansions. But that's good, because it gives them something to work on for a few expansions.
It does.
But was it somebody on the Hunting Party podcast mentioned the possibility of being able to tame the Fell Reaver?
Oh, that would be cool.
That, yes. I hadn't thought of that, and I'm like, oh, that needs to happen, because that would... Actually, that would be great to go into Hellfire Citadel and then tame the Iron Reaver.
I would definitely go in Siege of Orgrimmar. Oh, I'm a terrible goblin fan. I'm trying to remember what the Siege Crafter Blackfuse. I would tame some of his stuff. I'd be like, Blackfuse, and like have that big trundling goblin thing behind me. Like, yes, goblin.
Or even like those little walking bombs.
Yes, those are so
like,
cute.
Assuming they don't blow up and kill everything, and then like they're dead. Like those would be fun to have as a little like companion pet.
Give me Pokemon all over again. So and so's pet used explosion. Everything died, including the pet. Well,
that would be fun. You'd have to keep you'd have to make sure you don't use that more often than your pet resurrection comes off cooldown.
Right. You have to name it Electrode and be like, "Go Electrode, go get him." You bad pun.
I'm just thinking how they would balance that, because you'd have to make sure that for as long as the pet is up. That it would the explosion would do enough damage to mitigate the fact that the pet would be down for the what like 15 seconds it takes, not even that, to res the pet back, because well the pet's dead, you're losing DPS.
But yes,
that'd be fun though.
Yeah, depending on I'm like haha, breaking the game before it even starts.
Yes.
Oh man, yes. But, yeah, I have a feeling. Actually, I'm hoping with the addition to Legion, because I don't know what's going to happen lore wise. I'm still sticking my fingers in my ears about it. But I'm hoping if we get to go to either the Legion homeworld that there might be some, like, a demon family that'll open up that we can tame, or, like, demonized animals. That would be cool. There's a whole bunch of things
The only problem with that is then we start stepping on warlock feet.
That's true. But, I mean, it's, like, if you look at the Felbors and Outland, something more like that. So there was a native population of animals that have ingested demon blood, so they're more demonized, but they're not true demons. So,
okay. Well, we can tame the Felbors now, can't we?
We can, yes. And that was the point. So I was like, you know, they're still technically beasts, but they have ingested fel blood, so now they're kind of weird off branches.
It's not like new creature types, it's just like new skins for existing creatures.
Right. I mean, they might even be able to have a new family of like specific like skins of those animals that have a different ability if we go to the Legion homeworld at any given point. Sounds like there's a lot of places for us to explore still, though, especially looking at some of the new stuff that was released. So
yes, yes. So we'll get to that.
Okay.
there's still more Hunter stuff to talk
That's
about.
True.
One of the things too is some of the glyphs that are coming, at least as far as Beast Mastery goes. I was very affected when they kind of revealed that Beastmaster would be more of a master of summoning beasts from the wilds than taming and using beasts that it had become like friends with. You know, because like it's one of those things like we go, you know, we've been playing this game now for 100, 110 levels. As we've gone through, we've tamed many beasts. We have 50 beasts in our stable. And that's another problem too, is that our stables haven't grown, and every expansion they put more creatures for us to tame and put in our stables. So managing that roster of which 50, not even which 5 beasts you have to be summoned at any given time, but then which 50 beasts you have in your stable. I think that's a challenging game in and of itself. But what they've done is I think they had an engineer who went, and his focus was to fix – not I shouldn't say fix, but implement Dire Beast, or at least the mechanic that Dire Beast uses, where it summons beasts from the wild to make sure that it worked in every zone and it summoned appropriate beasts to that zone. And in doing so, they reworked Stampede so that instead of Stampede summoning your 5 beasts and then it, you know, they charge out and then they do deep, you know, damage for what, like 20 seconds or something. Instead of Stampede working that way, it summons beasts from the wild and they actually run in and kind of like run to your target, and it's kind of an ongoing cycle for a few seconds. Or Dire Beast, where, you know, every time you hit that, you get a different beast from the wild. And really, that was diminishing. It was diminishing the impact that your stable had. One of the things that I liked, one of the challenges that I had, was making a stable of 5 beasts that I want to see when I call Stampede. Mm-hmm. And I love using Stampede too, because I've taken screenshots of me standing in front of my 5 beasts. Usually can't see the one that's right behind me, but so it's me and 4 of my beasts. And I've always thought that's a pretty cool screenshot. Mm-hmm. And I won't be able to do that come Legion because Stampede won't work that way. And so basically you've got, you know, 50 creatures that are awesome. You can only use one at a time, and then you're going to be using all these other creatures. And while it is cool to see some of the other models, like one of the things in Warlords is that I was like, oh, I got to tame one of the new hippo creatures. I got to tame one of the Hydras. And I never got around to taming those because using Dire Beast, like, they would show up and fight alongside me from time to time. So I wasn't too, you know, I was like, oh, I got to see those models. I got to play with them. And I still got to have, you know, Gara out. Mm-hmm. Because of course you had to have Gara and run with Gara. But yeah, so going into Legion, it seemed like, oh, I'll still have my one pet, and then all these other pets, you know, I'm going to lose the ability to kind of rely on my stable. And it's good to see that they put in a glyph that, at least for Dire Beast will pull pets from your stable instead of pulling pets from the wild. So you can glyph it so that it'll do that. So I'm super excited about that. I'm super happy about that. I want to give a shout out to Bendak over at Eyes of the Beast and Blizzard Watch for posting about that and then, you know, getting enough attention on that so that that glyph got put in, because that was very important to me as a Beastmaster hunter. So
yes.
So, you know, is there anything as far as like how you play your hunter that you're concerned about either losing in Legion or that you're glad is going to be in Legion that'll keep that there?
Well, I'm actually a little concerned about Hattie, the artifact pet, and I know it's Legion Alpha, but from what I've read so far, it sounds like we're kind of bound to one spirit animal, and that's cool. But I was reading in the Beastmaster, I just read the Beast article that we both read, that, you know, someone was mentioning that it'd be neat if you'd be able to have an effect on an existing spirit beast you have, and or not even a spirit beast, but just a regular, I don't know, hunter pet. And I would like that a lot better. I mean, I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about the artifact weapons as it is. I'd like to see the Titan Strike have a bow option for my lovely Night Elf, because she's not a gun person. But I also feel a little confined about them giving us not only an old wolf model as Hattie, but then they don't really give you a lot of options to customize him. And so I don't want to sound like a horrible whiner here, because the lore behind Hattie is really cool, and I really like that. I'm like, oh, cool, neat. But at the same time, you're like, well, couldn't you give us like at least a new model if we have to have Hattie up? Or couldn't we do something like, hey, I've quested with this one pet religiously for the entirety of World of Warcraft. Is there any way he could be infused with like the soul of Hattie, and he could just like easily, they just take the skin of every, like, you know, animal or whatever, and just give it an electrical skin of some kind, you know, something cool like that. Like, I could still have my Devil Sword that's religiously been with me since level 60. But
I think hopefully what Hattie replaces is the Gara type of pet, where Gara was put out there, you know, kind of like a challenge. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be challenges going forward in, you know, in Legion, but it's one of those things where not only was Gara sort of a difficult challenge to get, actually, well, not really difficult, but it was an involved quest, I should say.
Yeah.
But also then, like, once I got Gara, I felt compelled to use Gara. And, you know, I benched my Hyena, which I've run with up till level 90. I benched my Hyena for Gara from 90 to 100. Actually, no, it was really just 100. I didn't get Gara till I think it was level 100. But And so, you know, I feel a little bit bad about that. And presumably come Legion, we'll have to see how the buffs all get reworked and whatnot. Presumably come Legion, I'll probably go back to using the Hyena again. But if Hati is that one pet that ostensibly, like, oh, you would have been using this anyway. This is what we would have, you know, this would have been sort of the challenge tame that you would have wanted to use anyway. In that regard, if you look at it, you kind of get that model and you get your whatever pet you want to choose next to it anyway. And looking at it that way, it's okay. That said, I would love it if, yeah, you could change that, because not everybody wants to run around with a wolf, especially with Gara. And then we had the Fel Wolf that you had to get out of Tanan. Mm-hmm. It's been very wolf heavy being a hunter lately, and I get that fits with like the savagery of Draenor. But for Legion, if we can get other, you know, get something else in there. It doesn't need to be a wolf necessarily. And I have to assume that they will update the model. I can't see them updating Kodos and then giving everybody a Rathera model.
I would hope not. Like
that just, I know they put in some new lightning wolves in the last alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Although those look like they're shaman summons.
Yeah, I think so.
But who's to say that the shaman can't summon the same model that Hati is? So.
Go ahead.
We'll see. I was just gonna say we'll see.
Okay. Well, and the thing I would like to see is, even if they give us, you know, Hati, it'd be cool if they even skinned like, say, five different, like a cat, a wolf, you know, like the five most common used Beastmaster pets, like maybe a Corehound. Like, just give us like five different skins so a hunter could pick between those. Like, oh hey, I don't really like wolves. I would love a cat, and it like could have like runes on it or something, or a wolf that has unique runing. So like, they all look similar, but you could pick one and then you could change its color based on, you know, something like that. And I just feel like giving us a little more customization. I mean, here's me being grouchy about being stuck with a gun, because I don't really want to transmog over this super cool legendary weapon. I'm like, well, I have to transmog over it. I don't really want to, but then the alternative is to go with the Windrunner bow. And I'm like, well, I get stuck with a wolf model. I'm like, well, okay. I love wolf models. The one that they have in the alpha preview, the Hati one, is my least favorite because it kind of has like a weird loping gait. It doesn't run like an actual wolf. So I'm sorry, that bothers me a lot. As both a biologist and as someone who likes to try and rig models, I'm like, ah! But I just hope that they either update... I think you're right, though. I think they will update the skin because I know it's alpha and it's early. But it'd just be interesting, like, since they're giving so many customization options, and I know they can't do everything. I do get that, like, you know, you can't have infinite customization for hunters. That would make other people really mad. But I would just like to see them branch out a little more if possible and if they have time. So
I don't know, I feel like there's an argument to be made that they should give everybody a little bit more customization. That fundamentally, like, even like I was kind of saying this week, like Gladiator Strike should still exist as like a valid method for like warriors to DPS. and yeah, like, and hunters should be able to kind of pick, like, because the problem right now is that fundamentally you're kind of restricted in whether you want to be like either a hunter with a lot of pets, a hunter with no pet, and both of those are ranged, or a hunter with one pet and a melee weapon. That there's no sort of, one, there's no option for like ranged with just one pet. And even then, like, the way your range is restricted, you know, like the bows go with no pet, the guns go with all the pets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few ways that you can mix and match the hunter abilities that they've presented it, that they're locking everything down. And I get that they have to kind of make, you know, each spec fit a specific vision, but at the same time, that those visions don't always line up. Like, if fundamentally, you could imagine yourself as having been a melee hunter with two pets. You know, why don't survival hunters get Hati to go along with them?
Right.
Yes, to a large degree, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of rebalancing that would need to be done. And that's a lot of work for them. And I mean, they have 34 specs to maintain as it is. So I get that it's a lot of work. It just sucks when your vision for your character, especially your vision for your character, how that character has been for the last 10 plus years, doesn't fit with how they're reworking everything now, because that's how they need to maintain things going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, My vision for my Night Elf Hunter, which was my very first and still my main character, you know, back from, God, I don't even know how long, like 2008 or whatever, whenever I started this insane venture. But, you know, she's always had like a handful of pets, and she's been very close to just like those like three or four animals. And now they're like, okay, Beastmasters, you tame everything. I'm like, that's not my vision for this character. Like, that's not how she would do this. And I was like, okay, well, I kind of have to struggle here. I'm like, she would never pick up a gun. So now I have to like pick up a gun and just plug my ears every time she fires. Or
you can still transmog the bows. You can still
That's the legendary thing. It's like, but the Windrunner bow. It's like,
that is a very nice bow.
I know, right? Well, not only that, but this like the lore thing behind it. You're like, that was a Windrunner bow. And like the inside, the lore geek is going, like, why do you do this to me, Blizzard? So that's going to be difficult, and I don't even know what to do, because on the one hand, the Windrunner bow, on the other hand, it's the Beastmaster thing. And you're like, oh, Blizzard, why do you do this to me? But it'll be neat to see how they go forward with this, and I'm definitely going to have my eyes on the hot tea thing, and we'll see what they do, because I would like to see, like, you know, those 50 pets I have in my stable, I'd like to see them come out more, and I need more slots on the buy, just in case anyone's listening. But yeah, hopefully we get more stable slots, because I'm out. Just like all my bag spaces, I have a problem. But yeah, I don't know. And I think you're right, as I said before, though, I think they're going to change the model. At least I hope so, because it kind of looks, the ones that they have now are kind of like an off-white skull model, and they're the ones that you can tame in the Valley of, not the Valley of Four Winds, the
The Veil of Eternal Blossoms.
Thank you. Yes, that one. Yep. Yes. Those models are out there free to tame, and I don't want to be picky, but I'd rather not have a legendary wolf that looks exactly the same as the other ones.
I think at the very least you can change the color.
Yes, you can.
So that's something. But
they're not that different, though. There's kind of like a white purple, and there's a brown one, and then there's a black one. But they're, I don't know. I don't want to be like, not that pretty, but they're okay.
Well, can you, I guess the thing, though, too, is that you're kind of locked into that, because as much as, like, the artifact weapon, like, there's a little path you can kind of go around and pick the order, assuming you have the right runes and artifact power, you know, you can sort of pick the order, you progress around that path. I mean, ultimately, you're locked into those skills on that thing. Like, there's no real choice in that. You know, it's basically a different way of them just giving you skills to as you advance through the game. So it's not like you could be like, oh, well, I'm not going to pick a given talent. I'm not going to pick the artifact slot that gives me Hati. You have to pick that. And if anything, all the rest of the tree after that all modifies the fact that you have Hati. So, yeah, it's a little, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it going forward. This feels this feels very much like round one of an idea, and I'm not saying it's not fleshed out because it's alpha, but I mean, we've seen, look at how talent trees have evolved from vanilla up through mists. You know, this artifact weapon, I like this because fundamentally what they've done is they sat down and they've said, you know, we have a problem where you do all your character advancement. Well, you level, and then you hit max level, and all you do, the only real advancement you do is putting your set pieces together.
Right.
And then you get whatever set bonus you get there. Or maybe in this case, you know, now some of the legendaries, as you acquire some of the legendaries, you'll get a sort of an ability that might change your play style there. But what they've done is they said, we're going to give you an entire whole path of progression that will have, some of that will happen as you level, but then it seems like the bulk of it will happen, not just once you hit max level, but throughout subsequent expansions subsequent patches as well, that you, it seems like you won't really max out your artifact until towards the end of the expansion. So.
Yeah. And I'm pretty excited for that. Like, it'd be nice to see. I mean, I know everyone's like, oh, endgame, there's not enough to do. And there is a lot to do. Typically, you know, like, there's dailies and stuff. And I know that can be repetitive and boring. But I'm glad that they're addressing more of, like, hey, here's more to do. Once you hit 100, it's not just raiding or whatever, you know. So we'll see how all of it plays out and how the secondary specs play out. Because I don't know if anyone in Legia's tried to do dual spec yet. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with too much of the other specs, but I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for Legion whenever it gets here. I know that my transmog bank is definitely ready.
Yeah, I know. And that's one of those things, too. I've been holding on to even more stuff. Like, I don't have this model. I don't even really care about this model, but I don't want to get rid of this model just because I might want it at some point in the future and I have it now. So I'm going to hold on to it and let it I'll take up bank space just because at some point I'll have it in my transmog. But yeah, so was there anything else hunter related that you wanted to hit on, or did we kind of? Was there anything about marksman or any of the other specs that you wanted to talk about?
I think I saw that I was zooming around Wowhead and it looked like there are changes coming to marksman, but I haven't seen any as of yet. So I'm keeping my eye on the posts and all that. So just to make sure I haven't missed any marksman stuff since now I play marksman. But it also looks like I was previewing on Wowhead here. It looks like there might also be maybe a bow skin for either marksman or beast mastery. It's just at the bottom of one of the model viewers. But yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed, that's going to be for.
Did we ask for something and then get it within the same podcast?
I don't know. I think that's unheard of, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut just in case it happens. I don't want to jinx this. But yeah, no, I'll link it to you here, but it's under the new mount models that they have posted. But oh, just wanted to throw it out there. There's something they're calling a Falcosaurus. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
But it's a new raptor model that has feathers, and they are gorgeous. So excited. So these things, there's so many new mount models. Oh, everyone needs to go check them out. And there's apparently maybe either a new leatherworking mount for anyone that does hunters and leatherworking. Mm. I've always associated the two, but more moose. More meese.
That's good. Mooses. You know, as a leather worker, we had to wait till Warlords to get our first mount. So,
right?
Yeah, we're a little behind on that.
Well, don't talk to my friend. She's a blacksmith and she's livid. She's like, I haven't gotten a mount yet. All I got was this weird pet with a big hole in its head. And I was like, but it's
cool. Oh, that's true. That's true. I didn't realize that. You're right. My blacksmith doesn't have a mount like that. Oh, well.
No. Well, okay. I don't know. Yeah, I think they should get one too. It'd be cool, like a super armored. Well, there's a new turtle mount that looks like it has like a Deathwing jaw, so I'm like, maybe blacksmithing, maybe Netherian's lair, who knows?
They are going a bit heavy with the Deathwing jaws this expansion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Deathwing is pretty awesome. He's my favorite, so.
They're bringing Illidan back, and would it be? I mean, I know there's going to be like some stuff that alludes to Deathwing, but I wonder. Okay, maybe they don't bring Deathwing back. I don't think if you do bring Deathwing back, it's too soon because we only killed him, what, two expansions ago?
Right. Yeah, like, meh.
But I wonder if something happens to Rathion where he gets his jaw blown off.
Daddy 2.0?
Yes. That is pretty much what a child is Daddy 2.0.
That's true. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens with Rathion, and I'm excited for Netherian's Lair. That's going to be awesome. So, I'm so excited. There's so many things to be excited about.
Well, I think at this point we've hit all the hunter stuff. So yeah, let's go into the other thing of major excitement for the lore nerds among us. as Katie visibly geeks out here, as we mentioned, Chronicle. The preview for that came out on IGN. 21 pages of amazing art and just insane goodness and insane lore. And if for some reason, if you don't want to be spoiled on any of it, assuming we haven't spoiled anything already, or at least anything too much already, if you don't want to be spoiled on any of it, you know, stop listening now. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't know why you wouldn't want to be spoiled on it, because it's not even that. I mean, well, there are some heavy spoilers in there, but at the same time, like, that's just a tease. Like, I have not pre-ordered. I will admit, I have not pre-ordered, but it is not because I'm not going to buy this book. It's just simply, I know I'm going to buy this book. I don't need to pre-order right now. I will do that at some point in the next few weeks. But that book will be mine at launch. Like, I might pre-order the day before, but I will pre-order this book. So, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So where do you want to start? Pick where you want to go with this, because it's
okay.
This is all mind blowing.
Oh well. Okay. So if anyone's a lore fan out there and you haven't read it yet or you haven't gone to take a peek at it, definitely should. This answers in these little previews a lot of questions about early Kalimdor, early Azeroth, all of it. And it actually hits a lot. I'm a big fan of both, you know, I always talk about like elves and trolls and mostly goblins, but this talks a lot about the troll empire, which is huge. I know we don't know a lot about it. We don't even know a lot about the Loa. So this answers questions about people that are troll fans, like the ancient empires of the trolls, just a little bit in this preview, and it's not even everything. It talks about some of the old gods. It talks about the elements, like the elemental lords. Oh, I had to decompress after I read the 21 pages or so that they have. And some of them are beautiful pictures. The artist did a fantastic job. Do we want to talk first about, they have a really cool map that talks about some of the different planes and schools of magic. Do we want to hit up that first?
Whatever you want to go into.
All right, well, I might have to decompress here because there's just so much that they threw out there and I got all excited about it. But I guess if first we look at they have maps of it everywhere now, but they have different schools of magic. They talk about different areas, and I don't know. What did you think, Nick? I should ask your impressions about this before I start launching off.
Well, okay, so getting into this school of magic, it's not even really so much schools of magic. It's sort of a fundamental breakdown of the elements of the universe, and it goes from like the highest tier of light, disorder, death, shadow, order, and life. You know, the highest tier there, and then it slowly descends down to the point where Azeroth is at the center. Azeroth and reality itself is at the center. And it's interesting because on the one hand, you have some very clear dichotomies, you know, life as opposed to death, order as opposed to disorder, light as opposed to shadow. And then as far as how those forces are then represented that we see. You know, light is holy magic, life is nature magic, order is arcane magic, and so on. I don't want to wind up just reading the entire chart out here.
it's true.
But it really sort of codifies to a degree how, you know, we've sort of thought of, well, we have Azeroth, and then there's the Emerald Dream that's a shadow of it, and then there's also the Shadowlands, which I don't think anybody had necessarily realized was also sort of the mirror to the Emerald Dream in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think that's tipped off by the fact that there's a spirit healer on the Shadowlands orb in this.
Well, and also then one in the undead area too. So like the Shadowlands are close to the death and decay and near necromancy, but they're not necessarily a part of it. So they're separate. And I think that's kind of neat because I think that might be where shadow priests take their like lore from, like, and the Forsaken that are priests that don't use the light have that shadow force. And I think that's part of that entity as well, if I'm not mistaken, because priests on the Forsaken, like, it's this own little canon and it's not very well explained that they actually draw darkness from somewhere instead of light because the light physically hurts them. So I think that might be where the Shadowlands come into play, but anyways, I'm sorry. I got all excited seeing it. I was like, oh, maybe that's the area.
You know, I just noticed there's actually one piece of this that's not balanced. That as you look at this chart, like everything, like you can kind of split it symmetrically, and everything has something that it corresponds to. And some of those correspondings don't necessarily make sense completely. Like you have the Titans are on the chart directly opposite the Burning Legion. That makes sense. The wild gods are directly opposed to the undead. And what's interesting is that kind of puts the undead on the same level as the Titans and the Legion, and also as the wild gods, which kind of makes sense because the wild gods, the ancients, the celestials, they're very powerful. So it makes sense that they'd be on the same level as the Titans. But the undead, and I think it's interesting because we've seen so many forms of undead. It's weird to think that fundamentally they're a force as potent as the Titans. But I guess that kind of makes sense because, I mean, the Lich King came out of nowhere. He controls the undead. I shouldn't say he came out of nowhere. I mean, he definitely came out of somewhere. But, like, the Lich King, I guess, would maybe best represent that. And he might – I guess that almost indicates that the powers that are behind the Lich King are of a titanic nature. I shouldn't say titanic nature, but at least on that power level. And then the other two powers that are listed on that level as well are the Naru, which I guess that's an interesting reveal because I always thought that the Naru were beneath the Titans in the cosmic power scale. I always thought that the Naru, if they weren't agents of the Titans, they were at least very closely aligned with them. And it's interesting here to see that the Naru are very distinct from the Titans. They're a whole separate sphere. They're a whole separate force. And well, I guess fundamentally we've always kind of looked at the Titans and the Naru, I guess, both as being agents of good.
Mm-hmm.
This this, I think, establishes that there's, at least from my perspective, there isn't as much of a connection between the two as I thought there was. That said, though, what's interesting is that the force that for Void, or the Shadow, there's actually two forces listed. They have the Old Gods and then the Void Lords listed there. Mm-hmm. And whereas every other sphere has just one piece, the Old Gods and the Void Lords are listed. So it's interesting that Shadow gets sort of two major forces to play with, and that it confirms that the Old Gods, I guess we always kind of, well, see, again, that's the kind of thing is like, I always thought the Old Gods were representing chaos, but no, the Burning Legion represents chaos. The Old Gods are actually the darkness, which, I mean, that definitely plays into the Shadow Priest lore that we're going to get this expansion. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. I always kind of thought of the Old Gods and the Burning Legion as kind of being under, at least near or the same, because the Titan Sargeras was corrupted by the Old Gods that leads the Burning Legion, and it seems to be, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. This is really interesting to just see this map, and I feel like a lot of people are going to scribble all over it with their own theories about everything, and I know, yes, a lot of people have.
Yes.
But
it's one of those things, like, they've just given us the map. They haven't given us whatever annotations they've put on the map.
Right. No.
That there's going to be a page in the book next to this.
Yeah. Oh,
and there's going to be a page after that. And it's going to.
Multiple pages.
I mean, there's already there's one page. I think it's a brief description of some of the major forces. But, I mean, how this breaks down, you know, it makes sense, too. Like, the wild gods and nature are near spirit. That makes sense. The Burning Legion is near fire.
Mm-hmm.
Undead is near decay. The Titans are near the Earth because, mm-hmm, you know, they have the Earth in and everything that they've made. Actually, yeah, I wonder how you would fit the Curse of the Flesh in here.
Yeah, I don't know where that would go. I feel like that would go closer to reality since it's kind of in on that loop, I would think. Although then you have to wonder about why Undead is out here. I guess that, yeah, life is out here too, so. But interesting because they mentioned, there is spirit. I was going to say, they mentioned spirit in the book when they're talking about the elemental lords that were fighting. And spirit is in here, but maybe spirit would be, like, Curse of the Flesh, I would have to imagine, would be somewhere between the Titans and the wild gods. Maybe the undead, though, depending, because that's earth and decay.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Curse of the Flesh, fundamentally, I mean, that is a force that moves you from one sphere to the life sphere,
mm-hmm,
but, how does that even work? I mean, and there's even some argument as far as, is it something that the old gods came up with, or is it just something that happens?
I'm not into the dwarf lore, so I don't know if that's ever been fully explained.
But, yeah, so we'll move on from this chart because this is crazy. We could spend plenty of time on this.
Yes.
No, but you were saying, though, you had a theory that the goblins and the night elves are related?
Yes, so goblins and elves are fundamentally related, and everyone's going to hang on with me. Have to hang on for a second here. Because in the chart, and I think it was something somewhere said, or at least hinted at, that night elves had come from trolls. And then yes, in these 21 pages, they talk about the Troll Wars. And this is fantastic, again, for any people that are interested in either early Azeroth or trolls. It talks about the different clans. There's actually a map that shows all the different clans of trolls and where they were on early Azeroth before the Well of Eternity exploded. But there's this group of trolls, and I don't remember if they're called the Nightborn or the... The image I have here is really bad, but... Basically, it comes down to there was this group of trolls that were nocturnal, and they became nocturnal, and they lived very close to the Well of Eternity. And what happened is they started worshiping the goddess Alun. And I think I don't know if she's an actual entity. I think that they hinted that she was in the book. I got so excited. I was reading really fast, so you have to forgive me. But these trolls, over time, over thousands of years, actually became elves, and they started... like moving away from the troll roots. They didn't practice with any of the wild gods, which are the Loa. They moved away from all those rituals and they became elves. Now, if we look at goblin lore says that there was a group of trolls, or maybe multiple groups of trolls, that were mining Khajemite. And there was another group that, like, they enslaved this other group of trolls to mine Khajemite. And over time, this group of trolls became smarter and smarter. as it got smarter and smarter, their bodies got smaller and smaller. And so the goblins essentially evolved from another form of troll because they were enslaved by trolls, and then they re-enslaved the trolls to do their mining because goblins became too smart and, yeah, overhauled the trolls. And they talk about that in the Goblin Starting Zone, which is interesting. And I think they also mention it in one of the RP guides that was officially licensed by Blizzard. So essentially, goblins and night elves are very far apart, but they still have a common ancestor, which is a troll, which might be embarrassing for both. I'm not sure.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. So,
but I called it.
And that's, no, and that's actually another thing I've seen is speculation that the Drogbar that we're going to encounter, that they're some sort of ancestor of the dark trolls as well.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That if they're not the direct descendants, at least some kind of cousin of the night elves and I guess the goblins at this point. So, yeah, there's just a lot here that's crazy. Now, the one big question that I had coming out of this is it talks about how Azeroth was home to a nascent Titan.
Yes.
And what's not clear, like, because they literally, like, cut off, like, mid-sentence, like, when they're, like, talking about this, is what happened to that Titan? Was that Titan born? Did that Titan emerge from Azeroth at some point? And is it, you know, out doing stuff? Is that the final Titan that we have to rebuild, according to Raytheon? And more importantly, like, what is that Titan's name?
Right.
Because I've seen speculation that Ilune is that Titan.
Oh, that would be neat.
Which, that could make sense. That definitely is within the realm of play here.
Mm-hmm,
definitely. But what I thought was interesting is they talked about how the Night Elves who were around the Well of Eternity had picked up the Titan word Kalimdor.
Yeah.
Didn't say where they picked. It didn't say how. They just kind of picked it up, like, just through. They just all of a sudden they knew it, and it doesn't say what that means. So I'm wondering if Kalimdor is actually the name of the Titan, and it hasn't hatched yet.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, if it's a loon, that means we've been living in a post-hatched Azeroth. We don't have to worry about ourselves. A loon popped out, became a Titan, did Titan things as far as all the stuff we know in the lore, being a goddess to the Night Elves and a goddess to the Tauren to some degree. You know, Ilune has been a being. Unless she's done all that while still in the egg, kind of like how Raytheon did part of his the legendary quest for the daggers while he was still unhatched. Okay, so maybe Ilune hasn't popped out yet then. But like, see, but then the other theory is that Kalimdor is the name of the Titan. It hasn't hatched yet, and that's the problem. If the Titan is hatched. We're okay because we're not sitting on an eggshell that is waiting to break.
Right.
We don't have to worry. And admittedly, our world is now broken twice between the Cataclysm and the Sundering.
Yeah.
So maybe what if the Sundering was when it hatched?
Oh, that would be interesting because then it wouldn't have all been Deathwing's fault.
No, well, I mean, it could be one of those things where yes and no,
or maybe the Sundering caused it.
Taronda was already a priestess of Ilune at that point, though.
Yeah. So I feel like she would have known. I feel like if something that big would have popped out. Well, I mean, this is. Again,
what does it look like? What does it look like when a Titan hatches?
Oh, I mean, does it look like a baby Titan? Does it look like a full grown? I mean, did they come out fully formed? This is one of those things where you're like, I don't know what to make of this. Like, there's so many questions. Like, you know, is this going to be like Cataclysm 2.0 if it does hatch and we're all sitting on its eggshell?
Presumably it would be worse because the Pantheon... Well, I mean, that's the thing is the Pantheon goes around looking for nascent Titans to then bring them into the Pantheon. So if the Titan hasn't hatched yet and if the Pantheon is still out there, and there's even questions about that, which hopefully the book will get into.
Yeah.
But if the Pantheon is still out there looking for nascent Titans and we're still sitting on a nascent Titan, then at some point they're going to come and try to take their Titan, which is the world that we're standing on.
I was going to say, that's bad news bears.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yes. So we would have a definite problem with them at that point.
Yeah. We might have just discovered the next expansion. Fight the Titans. The only good doers in the entire universe. Probably
freaking
not.
Afrasiabi said that we were going to learn a lot about Azeroth and its cosmology, and why it's so important in the Legion versus Titans battle. And yes, this is exactly what he was talking about. That at the very least, I think we know that Alun is a Titan. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually kind of a Legion spoiler. I don't know if she explicitly shows up. I don't know if any of the Titans ever show up, but it's been said that of the four pillars of creation that we have to get, three of them are Titan artifacts. Like there's the Hammer of Khazgaroth, and then I forget who the other two are. And then the fourth item is the Tears of Alun, which mm-hmm. it pretty much, like, if you're getting three Titans thing, and then the fourth one, that would also make sense to be a Titan thing. So Alun is basically kind of confirmed to be a Titan. So we know that much. And it's really just a question of, like, is Alun overlooking our world very closely for some reason, closer than the other Titans, or is Alun the Titan that hatched from our world? It's very... Oh, this book will be here in a few weeks, so...
I'm so excited. I'm going to read it, and then I will have footnotes. Actually, it'd be probably I'll write an entire journal, but you won't hear from me for a while, and I'll probably be drooling in the corner, trying to process all of the lore.
I'll be reading this to my kid.
And then the Pantheon descended!
pretty much.
He'll be able to speak fluent Torahi before English. Speaking Torin.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, you know, that's what, if I can get him to learn to speak Torin before he's, what, like three or something, that's when the mind is most fertile or whatever for learning a new language, so.
He'll be a fluent ambassador. He or she. Or, you know, you can get him that little, like, what is it, the snowball fight book? You can read that to them every night before they go to bed. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes. Anyway. I thought about, you know, there was a thing that came with like a onesie, like a Horde onesie, yes! And then that book. And I thought about getting that, but at the same time, it was a little pricey.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. I can't be buying myself books and books for the kid.
I don't know. Let's start reading the lore book to him. That'll put him right to bed. Yeah. Or if he's an avid lore. We'll find out if he's a lore fan, right, Quake, or her. I don't know which, but.
Yeah, we'll find out that too.
So. Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out which they are, and then they'll be an avid lore fan before they can even read. So
read
them to sleep on Titan lore.
Exactly. Okay. So did you have anything else you wanted to point out, or is this a good point to wrap up then?
It's probably a good point to wrap up before I start drilling. Oh, the one thing I should mention quick is they talked about, I'll try to do this as quick as possible, but they talked about the Elemental Wars, which they briefly described, which was really interesting. And they mentioned that Azeroth had, you know, we know the four elements pretty well, earth, wind, fire, water, air. But they also mentioned that there's another element, spirit, that Azeroth doesn't have a lot of. And I guess they don't have an elemental lord.
No, Azeroth has spirit. The problem is that the nascent Titan was sucking it all up.
That's right. That's what it was. I'm sorry. I haven't read it.
So that prompted the elemental wars, is because without spirit to maintain balance, the elements just went uncontrolled. And so the Titans had to come down. And I think it was implied the Titans had to come down. Again, it was one of those things where I feel like this was the next page.
Yep.
Was the Titans come down and beat the elements into submission.
Yep.
So
that's interesting too. So I just wanted to footnote that there were these giant elemental wars. And I think they had briefly been mentioned somewhere that there were elemental wars, and we didn't know anything about it. So that was really cool. So you guys should definitely go check it out. Read all about Alakir and Ragnaros and Therizine. And
everybody that we killed in Cataclysm.
We didn't kill Therizine.
Except for Therizine.
And we didn't kill Neptalune. He's just captured somewhere, and we don't know what happened to him because they cut that raid.
With any luck, we'll kill him. I shouldn't say with any luck necessarily, but we'll probably wind up killing him in Legion, things are going.
Well, right? We're already killing Scenarios. Upset.
Are we? You know, I'm not asking.
Okay, sorry.
We'll leave it at that.
He's a raid boss, so I don't know. But anyway.
So one final note is that the next episode of WoW Talk will be number 50.
Woo!
To celebrate, we're doing a little giveaway. So if you want to listen to any of our old podcasts, going all the way back to Mashcraft number 0, all the way up through this one, you know, find any highlights, send us an email to wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. You know, let us know which podcast, what the timestamps are for the highlight. Then we might play some of those during the show. But more importantly, we're giving away a store mat, not a store pet, I keep saying store mount. It's not a store mount, it's a store pet. Again, I got a baby. I can't afford a store mount. But no, we'll be giving away a store pet of your choice. We'll be doing a drawing out of all the submissions we get. We'll pick somebody, and then they'll get one of the pets from the store. So yeah, send us those highlights. We'll play them during episode 50. And yeah, I think that's everything here. This has been the special Hunter / lore edition of WoW Talk. You can check us out on Twitter. We're at MTB site. What's your Twitter handle, Katie?
HyruleMaster77.
Yes, and I am at WookieBH. You can email us again at wowtalk@mashthosebuttons.com. We're on soundcloud.com/mashthosebuttons. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Smart Radio. We're instantly available streaming from your iPad, iPhone, and Android devices. We're facebook.com/mashthosebuttons. We're on youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it and rate it on your podcast platform of choice. The podcast schedule is Double Tap is the fighting game podcast. That's the first week of every month. So I think that should be next week, or maybe 2 weeks. It depends when this goes up. In Orbit, that's our Destiny podcast. That's every other week. I'm pretty sure that would be this week. WoW Talk, that's us. We're bi-weekly, except when we do special editions. So we got you had 49. You should have 50 next week. And then Watchpoint Radio, that's our new Overwatch podcast with Jarrett and Jason. That's bi-weekly. That alternates with WoW Talk, except when we do special editions. So Tuesday is Blizzard Day. You get WoW Talk, you get Watchpoint Radio, and then whatever day this goes up, we'll see. So thank you to Heat Kings for the intro song. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing. And thank you for listening. For Katie, I'm Nick, and enjoy playing WoW.
See you guys.
Thank you for choosing a Mash Those Buttons podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you would like to subscribe to one of our shows, you can find us on multiple podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast platform, head over to mashthosebuttons.com, grab the RSS feed, and use it in your podcast platform of choice. We have shows for many different games, so if you want to check out some other podcasts you may enjoy, you should go to mashthosebuttons.com/shows or stick around to hear about other shows that are available this week. Mash Those Buttons is an independent outlet that is supported by patrons. If you enjoy our content and want to help us grow, you can become a patron for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. Besides helping us expand our content, patrons gain early access to special content and also have access to exclusive supporter-only content. If you'd like to stay connected with Mash Those Buttons, you can follow us at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or we'd love to have you join our Discord community at discord.me/mashthosebuttons. Once again, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, this is Ramses from Push the Point, the Mash Those Buttons official Overwatch League podcast. Tune in every Tuesday where me and my co-host LaBosco break down player performances, storylines, and the league at large.
Hi, this is Chrissy from the Final Fantasy XIV podcast, Wondrous Tales. Come hang out with us every other Monday for a casual discussion of what's going on in the community and some tips to improve your in-game quality of life.
Oh boy, I sure do love Apex Legends. Let's drop really late and camp out like a bunch of pansies.
Oh hell no! We're dropping spicy, motherfucker! Yeah!
Get your candy ass over to Dropping Spicy, a podcast dedicated to Apex Legends, its development, and the community. Only on Mash Those Buttons.